This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday, and good to talk right now as we go to the hotline to a former Houston Texan, a former teammate of Seth Payne's.
Oh, yeah.
Joining us right now, former Texans wide receiver David Anderson. D.A., you were a teammate of Seth's during your rookie year. Did he haze you at all when you were a rookie?
Hold on. Is this the Texans care hotline where you call to complain about your Texan issues?
Sure.
Please, I'm having terrible thoughts. I need some help.
So,
Payne, help me.
Okay. I'm supposed to wait. What am I supposed to do here?
There's no one to talk to in California about the Texans. I'm telling you, there's. I'm like, hey, you hear about what they're doing over there in the front office and Deshaun Watson and they're cutting all these. No, everyone's like, no, I don't really. I don't follow that. No,
yeah,
like,
I guess
no help here. So you're my only outlet. It's sad.
Yeah. Is there no chance? I guess. Are there even any Chargers fans to talk about? Hey, what if all of a sudden they?
Well, Seth, we're not going to go there. Yeah, there are a lot of diehard fans in Los Angeles for any football team, so that's a problem. But there are actually more Rams fans than Charger fans in Los Angeles. But I haven't had any of those debates yet either. We're also all still locked in our homes, which is hard to talk to, which makes it hard to converse.
Are you guys really?
Yeah, there's no water cooler talk there. Yeah, so it's it's interesting, David, because we'll hear reports like some of our Houstonians that are living in Denver now will listen to us and tell us that sports radio there is all Deshaun Watson talk. I think a few other places in a few other cities in the country, it's all Deshaun Watson talk because people want their meaty paws on Deshaun Watson. And yet, I guess that's interesting to hear. So out there, for the most part, other than every now and then Jack Easterby popping up or some report, you're not hearing a whole lot of Deshaun Watson talk.
Not hearing a whole lot of Deshaun Watson talk. You hear some Texan front office talk, like, what are they doing? Who is this guy? Why is this happening? And then, boom, let's move on to, the Skid Row or something. They move on to different conversations.
Hey, D.A., I'm glad you called in because I've been wanting to ask you about this. You're friends with Andre Johnson, obviously, from your time here. You guys both played the same position, and you've remained friends. As you've seen Andre react to this stuff, the tweet that he put out several weeks ago that was completely out of character for him, didn't delete it either, left it up, it's still up if you want to go look at it, basically saying the organization wastes players' careers. And then Andre doubling down on it again last week on a podcast, I think with Harry Douglas, a former wide receiver. As someone who was a teammate of Andre's and close to him, what was your reaction when you saw Andre, of all people, lashing out against the team?
I think it was surprising, but at the same time, it wasn't. We always knew he was frustrated and that he felt like he gave a lot to the organization and didn't get the same respect and love in return. It was cool, you know, when we all got to see him and he was the first person to get his kind of, I don't even think if they officially retired his number, or they just put him in the Ring of Honor. But it's like, I think it stems from a lot of frustration that went on throughout his career. He, you know, kept his mouth shut and he wanted to just play and wanted to win here and wanted to be a supportive player, not try to take away from any opportunities or be a distraction. But now that he's seen it go on and on a couple times now, I think he's like, you know what? I don't have a reason not to speak up. And I like it. I think, the best organizations do talk to their players and former players, and they try to really uncover what was going on, because the truth is, like, you know, Seth, Andre, Travis Johnson, Chester Pitts, you could call Ephraim Salam, myself, Kevin Walter, Arian Foster, guys that were there, and Seth, I would be curious about you, through that transition of Capers to Kubiak, are the ones you want to talk to right now to say, like, okay, we did this wrong already once, where we lost the soul of our team. We kind of went through a big coaching change. We had the first pick of the draft again. We had to decide on the soul of the Texans. What did we do wrong? How could we do it better? And you're not going to ask the people that are already there, because they would be telling you, oh, I've done a bad job for 13 years. You got to ask someone who's been cut, you know, a couple times, been released. The players, they're not going to hold any punches. And that's what Andre did. And so I think, you know, I'd like to think that they brought him in and asked him, you know, in depth more questions. But it just should spur a conversation with all of a lot of the former Texans. Like, hey, let's really talk about this and figure out what we need to do to turn this thing around.
Well, and I think too, you know, because with Deshaun, various people have said that it's not just about Jack Easterby or any one specific person. It's about the entire shebang. I would say that from my time there until now, I think that there are things that go on at the lower level, or that go on in the organization, that would be a surprise to the McNair family, that do not reflect well on what their image of the team is. I would say there's been certain ethical dodginess at times that I'm guessing the McNairs just believe doesn't exist, because the people that directly report to them are the ones that are the actual dodgy ethical people. So, but they're only hearing it from them. And I think between Andre Johnson or Deshaun Watson or various other people, myself included in the organization, you see that go on long enough and you just wonder, all right, well, if Jack Easterby leaves, then just somebody else is going to replace Jack Easterby and be feeding the same lies, or be feeding the same misinformation, or be feeding the same stories. And that's a frustrating spot to be, because you just, there is no simple solution for it.
Well, you feel that way, but that might not necessarily be true, right? They might go a different direction, hire a different type of person. I think, you know, there was a love for the Patriot kind of way of there for a little while. And they've obviously gone kind of a little Baltimore Ravens kind of, who actually, you know, I think as an organization they're pretty much studs too. I've always liked what they've done over there. So there is a little more flair and kind of a little spice added to the situation. But I think the heart of your comment is true, is that, you know, there's a lot of people. Don't forget, Seth, do you remember what Coach Kubiak telling us when he first got there? There's people still wearing Houston Oilers and Tennessee Titans jerseys. Like, that existed. And Coach Kubiak's like, if that was a player, I would cut them. And, like, there's still, in my opinion, a lot of people in that organization who are happy to work for the Texans. And they're excited. It's a good job. But they're not like Houston Texans. And I think that's where this organization is now, right? We've seen this organization go from, you know, it's child's situation. I think I was there through maybe it's like awkward adolescence period. And now it needs to become like an adult. And you need to treat the organization needs to be treated a certain way. The people within the organization need to act a certain way. And there needs to be a perception in a lot of ways is reality, because free agents are deciding where to go. And one of the most telling things that I ever had in my career was when long story short, Coach Kubiak and I ended up in a sauna together. I know what you're thinking, but it was off season. I was really hungover and I didn't know he was going to be in there. And Eric Winston saw that he was coming and did a 180, and I walked right into to the lion's den. But I did get to have a good conversation with Kubiak in the sauna. And that sounds funny. And he's like, you know what? One thing that was been going on here when I got here is we had to overpay free agents. We had to overpay average players to be here, and you can't win with that. You have to underpay amazing free agents to have a really good team, right? You look at all the teams across the board. Yes, they get free agents in there, but don't forget, free agents aren't like just deciding between one team. Right now, if you're getting paid, you have a chance to make $5 million, and you can go to the Seattle Seahawks, the Baltimore Ravens, or the Houston Texans, where are you going? You know what I mean? And that's the big issue, right? You don't want to be stealing agents, free agent. You can't even steal free agent from the Buffalo Bills right now, because you'd rather go there and have a chance to be in the AFC Championship game than Houston. And so that is a big issue. And that's why perception is reality for a lot of guys, because they don't know the Houston Texans. They've never been in the organization. All they know is like, it sounds weird over there. I'm going to go ahead and go to Seattle.
Yeah. That's funny about your sauna story. I remember Jeb Putzier. Jeb Putzier, for anybody that remembers, was a tight end back in like 2006 or so. And it was a really funny, just kind of dry, sarcastic, deadpan guy. But he just, at the end of training camp, he wanted to, you know, take a little break with his wife. So they went to the Houstonian. They're going to have a weekend away from the kids and everything. And he goes into the sauna. And sitting there is none other than Rick Smith, just dead right across from him. Just, hey, you're going to have sit and have a nice chat with the general manager, who may be cutting me a day or two from now on. I don't know. We're still waiting for the final cuts.
Yeah. And who now has a different opinion of him, because he's like, oh, you're going to take a day off at the Houstonian, huh? You think you're like that? Yeah. All right, well, now you're gone. You're like, this is so totally backfired on
me. Right.
But like, Seth, what do you – okay, I don't know how much time I have if Seth can answer this question, but like, does –
oh no!
Capers Kubiak transition, right?
Wait, so you cut out at the very beginning.
You were there for the Capers Kubiak transition, right?
Yes.
Does this remind you a little bit of that? Because everyone thought it was David Carr's organization; he was the soul over the organization. And all of a sudden, you got a new number one pick, and you go Mario Williams. And it felt like when I got there, there was a different. And I didn't know any better, but there was a different kind of. Let's just say conversation happening in the organization. Does this feel like that a little bit, or does it feel even just crazy out of control?
That's interesting, because that felt more like the normal when a new coach comes in, I've seen this happen a couple times with position coaches or head coaches. New coach comes in, takes down all the motivational plaques and says, hey, listen, words only accomplish so much. A week later, a brand new set of motivational plaques are up.
All new plaques, like, yeah.
We've swapped out the motivational plaques, and this is going to be the big culture change. Nobody loves talking about culture change.
You can always tell when they were raised, because it's like, oh, these are like Rocky quotes. You're like a 70s, 80s guy. And then there's like, oh, these are like, you know, mine would be like Dumb and Dumber quotes. Like, you had two pairs of gloves on the whole time.
We swapped out some Vince Lombardi quotes for some Bill Walsh quotes. That was the big change in era right there. And so there's always that, you know, and I can remember.
Tough times don't last, Seth. Yeah. Tough times don't last. Tough people do.
The one time I remember was that Kubiak came in and was really upset after a loss, because he said he walked into the building and he saw some people laughing in the weight room, like joking around. And he and Kubiak just was irate over that, because he felt like it meant that people didn't care about winning and all of this. And the funny thing about that was, I remember, you know, you're sitting there in the meeting room and you're like, oh gosh, is he talking about me? Did I smile yesterday? I hope I didn't smile yesterday. That would be awful. And it was – who he had seen was Dan Riley, the strength coach, who's a really funny guy and who made guys work until they puked, basically. And Dan Riley was irate. After that meeting, Dan Riley went up to Gary Kubiak's office and basically threatened to walk out right there and said, I do everything I can. My job on Monday is to get these guys better so they can be a better football team. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm trying to get these guys better. Wow. And I don't care what I have to do to get a good energetic workout of them on a Monday. That's what I'm going to do. I'm paraphrasing here. I don't know what he exactly said. And that was like, but that's the kind of friction that happens. There's different standards. You know, some head coaches want guys to look like their dog just got shot on Mondays after a loss. Other head coaches are like Jeff Fisher is like, nope, you got to get better for next week. And so I remember a lot of that. It was like normal friction. This stuff happening now is just weird. This is just really, really strange stuff that's happening now.
It is like, does the talk always kind of come around to Jack Easterby, or like, where's it all headed? Like, and that's what's frustrating to me, is like, it's almost like, you know, the opposite of love is indifference, right? You don't want to, like, if you don't talk about him, you let him know that, like, his power is not – he doesn't have any power. But if you talk about how much you hate him and his name's always in the press, then you're almost giving him power, because he ends up being a conversation in the building too. So I'm curious kind of – because I don't I don't get to read the newspapers. I don't get to listen to all the radio shows and whatnot. So I'm just kind of a little out of the loop.
Listenership would tell us that we're not at indifference yet, that it's still at anger, because people are still engaged with what's going on with the team. But it's – I mean – you know this, DA, you can't sustain something like this. You can't you can't maintain interest through anger over a long period of time. Eventually people will tune out, and I think more than anything else, I think people are just waiting to see what happens with Deshaun Watson. You know what I mean?
I don't know. Sean, did you see the presidential election? I think people were pretty
entertained. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
It gets a little awkward at times.
Yeah.
You can be entertained.
Hey.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Before we let you go, I mean, you're in the analytics world. And I know most of the analytics stuff that you do football-wise is on the field between the white lines. But I'm just curious, your thoughts, is there an acceptable package for a quarterback like Deshaun Watson out there where you make a deal?
Yeah, there is. It's first you got to evaluate where, you know, what are your next best options, not just for this draft or the next draft. You got to evaluate from, the Texans organization. Are you willing to wait 1, 2, maybe 3 years for the quarterback that you want? Right now they're evaluating, okay, is it Trevor Lawrence and everybody else? Because you're not going to trade Deshaun Watson for everybody else. Yeah. And so, like, is it Trevor Lawrence or is there a guy next year we're really high on or something like that? Like, those scouts have that information, and I'm not sure what juniors or guys coming out next year would be good. So that's where you got to decide, right? Because you're ultimately, like, we're trading him and we want a boatload of players, but we still need a quarterback. And so, like, are we able to get one? That's the real question. And, like, people that are like, oh, yeah, we'll give you our crappy quarterback for yours that's really good and a bunch of players.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good trade. Because in the end, crappy quarterbacks don't win no matter how many good players you have around them. So you got to have a good quarterback. So in my opinion, you go draft picks plus a bunch of good players, and that's really on the scouts if they think. Like, I'm not a big believer in Justin Fields. I don't know enough about the kid from BYU. Seems kind of David Carr-esque to me, which is kind of funny. You know, it's the same type of conference and like a slinger and did pretty well, but you don't have to worry about zone blitzes when you're at BYU and things like that. Yeah. And getting, you know, guys coming screaming off the edge and putting your face in the dirt. It's just a lot different. And so I'm not convinced on him yet, but you know what, that's up for their talent evaluators. And this is where they really get paid is there something, because the truth is, you don't want a culture issue in your team either. That's worth picks. And if they can't make Deshaun Watson come back out and rally the troops, they gotta deal them. And they're just in a really unfortunate situation. I bet half of them that just came there didn't know that they were going to be in this situation.
Yeah, that's a good point. DA, we got to bounce. We're at the top of the hour, but we hope this helped you, my friend. And you know that the phone line, the hotline, you've got the number. You can always call
us. It did not help. I don't know what to do.
All right.
No one's listening to me.
Your next session will be Friday.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.